up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, we have some awards to acknowledge, Waddle. While we have officially crowned the Bears the winners of the draft and the offseason champions.
I did not do that.
No.
So who did that? I don't believe in those awards.
Your mean Mercedes has been named AL Player of the Month.
All right.
So for the inaugural month of the 2021 baseball season.
What role is he going to play in Cincinnati because there's no DH there?
And did you hear the story about what happened to him yesterday? He showed up late. He was in the lineup, and La Russa then took him out of the lineup because he did not get to the game or to the locker room when he was supposed to get there.
What happened?
I don't know. Was he having one of the Yerminator burgers?
No, La Russa said it was explainable.
Okay.
And then he's like, he said, his quote was, "It's explainable, and I know the fans won't be happy."
Alarm clock.
You get stuck in traffic.
Well, that's not really not a good excuse.
Well, I mean, if there was like an accident on his way or something and he couldn't get around it,
always
or something,
have to allot for.
I get it. I mean, but if you said it was explainable,
especially when you're that hot, like,
is it explainable? Like,
it was a Sunday morning, right?
Sunday morning, 1:10
first pitch. It was yesterday. I mean,
what traffic?
No, it was yesterday's game, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was yesterday's game. Yeah,
it's pretty quiet early in the morning. Yeah, it's.
I would think, too, yes, he has had a great start to this season, but at the age of 28 as a rookie, aren't you usually, as a rookie, one of the first guys that shows up for everything?
Yeah, yeah. So let's hope he's not getting fat and happy. Chris Bryant has been named National League Player of the Week.
Well, he's hotter than a depot stove,
as
they used to say on Bulls games way back.
Now what? Now when the Cubs start taking bids.
Your football takes, you could keep them, but your baseball take this weekend, I'm just kidding about your football takes, but the thought on the text chain about maybe the White Sox needing a guy that could play left field,
right?
Maybe just across town.
You need a corner outfielder, Sox.
I love that conversation.
Right. You could play some third when Mercado doesn't play third.
Yeah.
He could play left field. He could play right field. He could DH. He's having an MVP-style year, like in 16. You don't have – you're going to be without now Aloy for a long time. You're going to miss Robert now. That's a lot of pop out of your lineup. Like, one Sox fan friend of mine texted me and goes, "Dude, we're like begging for Adam Engel to come back. That's how desperate we are right now." Yeah, Chris Bryant would look
nice.
That
would be so cool for us to talk about, of course. But for the White Sox, if they could pull off that deal. And maybe your team could stock the cupboards with something better than what they have now.
I said, give me the younger Cespedes and give me the other Tatis.
Okay.
I'll take another Tatis. Make him regret it twice. Right? He's in their system, didn't he?
I think so, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Daryl in Chicago Heights here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
We're great.
Hey, first I'm going to say this very, very quickly. Number one, I don't think Justin Fields failed. I know after the third pick, I knew those other teams weren't going to pick a quarterback. And when that happened, I knew the Bears had to reach out and get them. Number two is, we need a coach. Now, let's get this. Matt Nagy has this mindset of, I have a system. Number one, he's an AFC-type coach, and he's playing in the NFC. But his mind is saying, I have a system, and I want a quarterback to play for my system. Instead of, hey, I'm looking at what this guy can do, and I'm going to create a system so he can play to make him a success. His system isn't working.
Daryl,
he needs to play to the strength of the quarterback. You got a passing, running quarterback that can do a great job. Recalibrate, make a whole new system. But your system and your play calling sucks.
Daryl, you must have a listening device planted here in the studio, because I said to Sylvie, even like 15 minutes ago, I said, now the important question to me is, okay, like I've always looked at this, said it a million times. You have to evaluate talent, acquire that talent, then you have to develop that talent. Where is the confidence level in this town with Bears fans that Matt Nagy will be able to develop Justin Fields and bring him along and have success with him as his quarterback. And look, I get it. He was an accomplished college player as much as anyone. Peyton Manning had to develop at the NFL level, had to get acclimated. Peyton Manning threw like 30 interceptions his first year.
Yeah.
Like even the best need to get acclimated to the difference that exists between the collegiate level and the NFL level. Some guys have an easier transition process. There will be some transitioning. I don't think it'll be enormously difficult for him, but like even for Justin Fields, if you look at his game, he's got one of the most accurate deep balls I've seen in so long. He took a lot of sacks at Ohio State because they were a team that hit a ton of big plays. I think the thing that he's going to have to learn first and foremost is sometimes it's okay to just hit the release valve, throw it to the running back, throw it to the intermediate route instead of reading anything deep to short. Sometimes you read it short to deep.
Right.
And I'm not telling you he will have trouble with it because I don't think he will.
But this is the development that you're preaching.
Yes. The development is sometimes you just got to tell him, Justin, look, we know you're going to hit a ton of deep balls. Your deep ball accuracy is as good as anybody that we've seen in a very long time. But sometimes at the next level, if they take that deep ball away from you, it's okay to throw the intermediate route or throw the swing route to your running back and take 10-yard chunks. So that, to me, is going to be a little bit of the adjustment period for him. I circle back and say to you now, I think it's a legitimate question. I have hope. I was critical of how Matt handled Mitch. I don't think he did a good enough job identifying his strengths and his weaknesses and then playing to the strengths. I said that a number of times.
Why couldn't he communicate with Nick Foles, who was his guy? Maybe that whole greasy thing was true. He fell out of favor quickly. Remember, everyone's like, oh, that was just miscommunication. Maybe not. Remember Foles telling him, let's go.
Again, here. Now he's got a chance to change the narrative. The level of confidence that you have that the coach and the quarterback will find that mesh is an interesting conversation. I'm going to tell you that I think that young coaches struggle at times with certain things that they get better at over the course of time. So while I've acknowledged some of the things that I thought Matt did wrong and been critical, I feel okay about this. I feel positive that, A, this is his guy, okay? And, B, I just feel better about this relationship than the last one, and I think it will go more smoothly, I think it'll be better.
I don't want any more mea culpas about, like, Cole Kmet. Like, you're the head coach, you're the OC, and Matt Nagy would be there, and I know he's not a quarterback, but it's still valid. Your head coach and offensive coordinator, same guy, is saying, well, we got to get the ball more to Cole Kmet, or we got to get him on the field more. Well, why the hell didn't you?
Right.
So I don't want to hear in September, about Justin Fields, that they're not doing something right again. Get it right already.
And you also still have to run the ball in this league. So, I mean, commit to running the football.
That's all a huge support, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that to me is now the bigger question. You've identified the quarterback. You did a very nice job acquiring that quarterback. Now do you have the right people in place to develop that quarterback? That to me is the $64 million question.
Chris in Philly, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good, thanks.
Good. I just wanted to say, as a realistic Bears fan, with the draft, I'm happy. Am I crying on my knees that I'm so happy? Is he the best Bears quarterback? No, he hasn't even done a snap. What I would say, as all Bears fans, I feel like we truthfully and confidently say we gotta trust the process. I mean, we got Matt Nagy, we got Andy Dalton, and Nick Foles. I mean, they're pretty confident people that could mentor a quarterback. And as I talked to Carmen and Yurko last week, and they were thinking it was more long term, this draft pick. So if it's long term, as Bear fans, we shouldn't be booing. I don't see why we need to boo if Andy Dalton doesn't go well. I mean, we got Nick Foles. I mean, I feel like we need to trust the process. And if Fields is not ready, why are we really going to be pissed that we suffered this year?
It's a good point. The most important thing from the 2021 Bears season is going to be Justin Fields' development.
Yeah.
They will not win the Super Bowl this year, okay? They will not win the Super Bowl this year. But you may have a chance to come away from 2021 saying, we've won the ultimate prize in the forever quarterback.
Are you better on the last day of the season than you were the first day of the season?
Yeah, you should be.
That's the point. And again, I think that they are in a there's a luxury here. Justin Fields may prove to you he's ready to go day one. I would never rule that out. In fact, you asked a poll question, and you said who will start day one. I voted Justin Fields because if he's the guy that we all think he is, he won't be overwhelmed by starting day one in the National Football League. But my answer to your question was because I only had two. Like, right now, I don't know.
Right,
he'll tell
course.
You.
And I'm not giving nuance in poll questions.
Right.
This is who should start at quarterback for the Bears on NFL opening day. Nearly split. 51.4% say Fields. 48.6% say Dalton. Our web polls on my Twitter handle at Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Check out the latest lines of hybrids at your Chicagoland Toyota dealers today.
If he proves that he's ready to go, why would you not start him?
Right. Don't rage against it.
Right.
Don't give yourself an excuse not to do what he's telling you to
right.
do.
That's my point is
don't
like
ignore it.
Right. If in fact you feel that he could benefit by watching for a couple of games, then go that route.
And don't force it the other way. If
right.
he's struggling to pick some things up, say, we got time.
Yes.
We got time here. We want to do this the right way.
They're in the catbird seat with this, how they can play it out.
Mickey in Wheeling, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mickey. Nick.
Oh, Mickey.
You're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
That's all I got. Sorry. Good try.
Oh, but Mickey, what a pity you weren't on the phone. You missed your chance to talk about Fields and the Bears.
Hello?
You started.
Oh, whoa!
You started strong.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, so I was on mute, guys. Sorry.
Oh,
that was great. I loved it. First comment is, you know, regarding, you know, the whole question of if Fields should start, I don't think so. And the reason why is because this line is pretty young. We got a couple of rookies in there, and I wouldn't want our most, you know, prized treasure to, you know, get hurt in any way or, you know, have any kind of negative effect from, you know, a line that's trying to gel together. So I think that's the most important thing that, you know, not only do we develop Fields this year, I guess it's good that we have an extra game. So maybe towards the tail end of the year, you know, we could see him get in there. But for me, I'd feel more comfortable first if that line, you know, gets some chemistry together and we start knowing who fits well in that trench.
It's a fair point, Mickey, but I would also suggest to you, if he proves that he's ready to go, you can protect him with formation. You can protect him by running the football and running play action. I mean, there are plenty of ways to protect a quarterback. I get your assessment, though, because if you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow got destroyed in that play that sent him to the sidelines and he had major knee surgery. If you watched the Bengals play throughout the course of the year, he was getting drilled every single snap.
And they didn't really protect him this draft, did they?
Well, I mean, they chose Ja'Marr Chase instead of Penei Sewell. So, you know, I don't know what they have in their pipeline. But I'm just telling you that I understand your point. It's a very valid point. But I also would argue that you can protect your quarterback by how you scheme some things, and you'll see how the kid Jenkins develops. And but again, I think it's silly to sit here. What's today? Oh, it's May 3rd. It's my mom's birthday.
Happy birthday, Ruth!
I got to call her.
How could you not call your mom on her birthday?
I'll call her on the way home. I think it's silly on May 3rd to sit here and tell you, you know, what is going to happen.
You're right. Right. All right, there's one caller who wants to address this topic. Pro Football Focus said this player on the Bears was the biggest winner. We'll tell you who that is coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Saw Pro Football Focus, some hat tip to a listener here who sent this to me on their podcast this morning. They said the biggest winner in the Bears organization from the Justin Fields draft selection is Allen Robinson.
Oh, no doubt. This would be the most competent quarterback he will have played with, right? Not just at the collegiate. Well, where did he go? Where did Allen went to Penn State. He played with Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take my chances on thinking that this will be the most accomplished guy ultimately that he'll play.
I told you, if you take the three of Hackenberg, Bortles, and Trubisky, I don't think there's a player in this league who has played for three worse quarterbacks.
Especially a guy of Allen's
right.
caliber.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's what Nick and Carol Stream wanted to hit on. Nick, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, boys. Happy semi-Bears victory Monday.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah. We'll take everything we can get.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that leads right into my comment. I mean, does this kind of reopen the door for, you know, negotiations with Robinson's camp about staying long-term? I mean, obviously, last time they had talks, it was, okay, we're going to have Foles and Dalton throw to you where, you know, potentially long-term he's got Fields. Does that change his mind a little bit?
I think it probably makes him feel better, but at the end of the day, what would make him feel really good is a contract that he feels he's earned.
Right.
So, like,
a lot of receivers did not get paid, though, this offseason, right. So the market did not help him.
Right.
And he signed the tender.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, I think that he'd be excited to play with Justin Fields, but at the same time, that doesn't help his bank account if the Bears don't come and negotiate a long-term deal with him. I would think the Bears would... Listen, they've got some cash issues right now with regard to the salary cap. I just don't know why you would want to eliminate good pieces, and by far he's the best piece of their offensive huddle now that you've drafted a young guy who you believe should be your quarterback the next 10 years. The thing I would be looking to do is keeping Allen in the fold for long term.
You know what I'm excited for? I'm excited to see if Allen Robinson with a good quarterback can be even better. You know, like we've always said with these quarterbacks, well, he's not in the elite. Well, if Allen Robinson and Devontae Adams switch teams, would Allen Robinson be putting up Devontae Adams numbers with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football? Is it a quarterback situation that makes the receiver? I know both play a role, but if Allen Robinson is finally playing for a guy who can be counted on more, can he put up some of the premier numbers?
Well, I think his numbers will elevate a little bit, but, I mean, he's been as targeted as much pretty much as anyone in the league the last 3 years.
Yeah, but by an inaccurate quarterback who doesn't know how to process a lot of times when he is open and he doesn't throw the ball. So even though they're targeting him, there have been times we've seen Allen Robinson fly open and Mitch ignores him.
I think especially with a deep ball. Like, I'm excited to see, you know, Darnell Mooney. Because there's a guy that can really get beyond a secondary. Like, how many opportunities were there last year for both guys to actually make big plays where the deep ball just wasn't completed?
Boston, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Boston?
What's going on, guys? I just want to add a few points, if I may, real quick. I'm just excited that you guys are talking about something positive with the Bears. You know, it's been a long time coming. And just to let you guys know, I have I have several trademarks, but I have a trademark on the phrase "worry about yourself." And my website is thebostonwaves.com, but that aligns with what I'm talking about as far as, like, now we can finally worry about ourselves because we got the pieces in place to succeed and maybe make it to the Super Bowl within the next 2 to 3 years. And it just feels good to hear positive thoughts about the Bears and the direction that they're going.
I want to know more about this website, thebostonwaves.com. Is that what you told me?
Bostonwaves.com. And I want to send you guys something, man. I got the shirts and Bears colors. I got four trademarks, but the Boston, worry about yourself is my main slogan. And I've trademarked it a year and a half ago. So it's thebostonwaves.com. And you can take a look and see what you like. And like I said, I can send it to you guys. No problem.
And look, I need that. I say that to my kids all the time. I say that to my oldest, who's always worried about the youngest. Worry about
yourself.
That's
right. I got you, Sylvie.
Yeah. Thanks, Boston.
You.
Good stuff.
All right,
thanks,
man.
Boston.
No problem.
There you go.
I'm on his website right now. It's cool. I like that.
Hey, listen, it's fantastic to feel optimistic about your team. Like I said to you on Friday, what a difference 24 hours makes.
Dude, I have now a player that I'm trying to get his jersey for my kids. Like, the preseason games are going to be fun. Training camp reports are going to be fun. We like, someone, I forgot who it was. I've got it here. I wrote it down in my notebook about the Windy City Productions tweeted this. this Bears offseason was a roller coaster of emotions. We had Watson trade rumors. Wentz, quote, was almost a Bear. Or Russell Wilson told us he loved us. Andy Dalton is signed. And now Justin Fields is drafted. I mean, it's been a hell of an offseason with drama.
Go back even further after the press conference where everyone just was begging for change and no change occurred.
Yeah, so like now it's just all positive. Gorman in Mount Greenwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Gorman?
Hey, fellas. I would just like to get your perspective on a thought I was having. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing that they got Fields, so don't misunderstand me there. But over the last couple of decades, if you compare the Patriots to the Bears, obviously the Patriots have much greater success than the Bears, you know, getting to the playoffs and obviously the Super Bowl ultimately. So I guess my question is, the Bears opted for Fields versus Mac Jones. Ohio State is not known to be a quarterback factory, so... Now, and obviously when Fields and Jones met, Jones was the victor. So my question at the end of the day is, in the next 4 or 5 years, who's going to have the greater upward trajectory, the Patriots with Mac Jones or the Bears with Justin Fields?
Gorman, you're recycling your calls now. I heard you calling Carmen and Yurko on my drive-in today with the exact same call. Are you just going down the list and asking everyone your question?
Gorman, Bleck and Abdallah, 6 to 8 tonight. You call us then. And also, so I would like to ask...
You don't want to say that the Patriots...
No, I'm busting your chops. But, I mean, really, I mean, you're the same call? Like, you couldn't, like, come with fresh material a few hours later for us?
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is I think maybe the Bears could have got a guy who's a plug-and-play guy in Mac Jones, and they opted for Justin Fields, and I'd like to get your perspective
on
that.
Gorman, I would say this. I think if you look at the two-year careers of each, Justin Fields has been more impressive. What Mac Jones did
this year... Mac Jones only had a one-year career.
Well, didn't he play a little bit when Tua...
He played a little bit when Tua was hurt, right. But, like, it wasn't the same.
Right, so... But I'm telling you, what I'm saying is you have more of a track record, and it's a very impressive track record, and I would repeat something I said earlier. If you try to connect the dots when quarterbacks are playing in games against one another, I think it's an inexact science. You're right. As I said earlier, Mac Jones had a better night than Justin Fields did in the championship game. Justin Fields had a better night than Trevor Lawrence did when they met in the semifinal game. Like, what does it all mean? I don't know, but like, I think you could twist yourself up with trying to go that route.
Who would you bet on? Would you bet on Belichick and Mac Jones or Nagy and Justin Fields as far as team?
I think it's a fair question. Obviously, Bill Belichick has got a better track record than Mac Nagy, but they don't have a great draft track record in recent years.
And they don't have Tom Brady anymore to write everything that
went
wrong.
I'm not going to tell you that I'm smarter than Bill Belichick because I'm not. I had Justin Fields as the second best quarterback in the draft ahead of Mac Jones. I had him third. So as a Bears fan, I am just fine with Justin Fields being their selection ahead of Mac Jones. I'd rather have him than Mac Jones at this point.
I asked this on Friday when you weren't on. You know, to the people that are saying Ohio State, Alabama's never produced a good NFL quarterback, how many great Texas Tech quarterbacks have there been?
Yeah, right.
That's another narrative that to me is silly. It's not important.
You can't judge Justin Fields based on what... You know, what some of his predecessors did. He's an entirely different guy. And if I'm not mistaken, with Ryan Day as their head coach, it's an entirely different approach to their offense. So it's an apples to orange comparison, in my opinion.
You're not going to draft another Oklahoma quarterback just because the last three have been good if you think the guy stinks. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you got to
value them individually.
Individually. 332-3776. Some great calls today. Shout out to everyone watching us on Twitch. And Gorman, I love you. I just thought you'd bring some fresh material to the Waddle and Sylvie show. That's all I ask. I love when people call all the different shows and you listen all day. The long streamers, as Black and Abdallah calls them. But come with some fresh material. We got Waddle's World coming up.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at Home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
What the why? What the why? Why'd you say
are
what?
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Yes, I am.
Waddle's World, brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Are you okay with your baseball team right now? Merkins sent out a text, I think, after the Cubs beat the Reds. Was that the first game of the series or the second game? And they got awful quiet. Reds won the series, but your guys, you know, came alive.
What do you mean they came alive?
They came alive. Baez hit a big home run after he got in a fight, almost a fight with Amir Garrett.
Well, right, the Amir Garrett stuff.
Chris Bryant was named the National League Player of the Week.
I'd like to win more and not be in last place. You know, the Cubs are in last, right?
Oh, I know.
More consistency.
I know, Merk.
Hap finally came out of it yesterday.
Right.
Then he got hurt. And I hope he's okay. They're 12-16. I mean,
young Jock is back. He's been activated off the.
Okay. We'll see if he could hit this time around.
Probably not.
Well, what are they going to do with? Like, I think the number one question will be, like, how long is there going to be an early trade market for Chris Bryant? Especially if he's playing like this.
So there's no doubt in your mind they're trading him. No doubt.
I'm 96% sure.
Ooh, okay, 4% chance.
Yeah, I mean, anything can change, but I'm 96% sure they trade him.
Do you think they're going to trade Javi?
Don't know about
Javi's
that.
Javi's still on track, 50, as I 50. Said. Javi's on track for 41 home runs this year.
If you're not going to sign him, then you're going to have to trade him.
Yeah.
So then, like I've told you about Willie, decide on Willie so we don't have to do this again next year with more guys. So,
did Darvish have another stellar outing?
It wasn't my Yu Darvish weekend.
It wasn't?
No.
As far as like being,
I was thinking about the Bears all weekend.
Yeah,
I really didn't do a ton of baseball this weekend. That, you know what I noticed from baseball this weekend? A lot of chesty pitchers.
Oh, okay.
A lot of chesty pitchers.
Well, I mean, Amir Garrett, like, I don't understand. I only saw a clip of what was he doing after? See, this is where I know there are people out. This is where I distinguish between showing someone up and showing emotion, like. Amir Garrett, what he did after striking out Anthony Rizzo, that was showing up a player.
Right.
That's showing disrespect.
That's not a bat flip.
No.
A bat flip is not intended towards the pitcher. It's celebrating the good that you just accomplished.
Okay, so like, and you know, I could give a rip about bat flips and all of that stuff. If you want to celebrate, celebrate, but it doesn't flip my boat. Whatever. I don't care. But what he did, Amir Garrett, was totally wrong. That's not in the spirit of celebration. When you're sitting there taunting a player that you just struck out, I'd feel the same way if Anthony Rizzo would have taken him deep and started jawing at the pitcher and puffing his chest. That, to me, isn't like a bat flip. That's disrespecting the opponent in some ways. So, like,
what do you think about Javi going full bird there?
I think
Cutler walking the dog in River North back in the day.
I think the bird is a tremendous gesture when necessary.
It's unbelievable.
Listen, I didn't hear what was said, but I thought it was totally fine. Based on, I thought Garrett was totally in the wrong, and he's like that all the time. He lacks composure to the point where the Reds have tried to make him their closer, and he can't handle it.
I love Javi, and I love that he stood up for Rizzo, and I thought that was a good move. Javi doesn't want any part of Amir Garrett, right? I mean,
many people want a part of him in terms of like.
He looks like a tough guy.
If you're in the octagon in the UFC or you're even out in the middle of a baseball diamond, it's not the guy I would want to wrestle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you're going to get held back when you go out. You don't really want a piece of it.
I just think that his behavior is 99% is Bush League, the way he
handles
himself. Amir
Garrett, yeah.
That's crazy. By the way, Yermin Mercedes was voted the AL Player of the Month, which I think is pretty cool. And Jeff Passan wrote a really interesting article that you and I have just kind of skimmed over at this point. But there is a line in there that I think, well, drew some attention.
He did a bunch of like bullet points on the first month in baseball. Okay, like this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. Number eight was the White Sox should be in first. Okay, so it's about even with Aloy out, even with Robert's latest injury, even with Abreu struggling at times, they still should be in first place in that division. And then he writes, one can forgive Tony La Russa for a difficult transition back into the dugout. He was away for 10 years, and yet at some point, that excuse gets tired. And with some of La Russa's maneuvering, one can understand why the patience in some parts of the White Sox clubhouse is growing thin. So then he goes into detail about it, but what does that mean? And we're going to have Jeff Passan on this week. What does it mean that the patience in some parts of the White Sox clubhouse is growing thin?
It's an interesting question.
Is that players? Is that pitchers who maybe are forced to throw pitch 111, 112, 113, and 114 after allowing a home run when he had nothing left? Coming off of a bad outing in Boston? Where is it coming from?
I think there are a number of things that you could point to and see how it would upset some of the folks. Like, I want to see more Andrew Vaughn, right?
Yeah, some of the pinch hitting.
Like,
decisions.
Andrew Vaughn, to me, Andrew, like, there's a reason why I mean, this is me interpreting, but Rick Hahn basically, They dipped their toe into the free agent market, but they didn't dive in the pool in large part because he said there were young guys that they wanted to give that opportunity to instead of free agent. I think Andrew Vaughn is one of those guys.
He had a couple hits again yesterday. When given a chance, Andrew Vaughn has shown he could play, but yet they consistently have gone to Lurie Garcia a ton there. Now, he's going to get more opportunity in left because Garcia is going to have to play center now with Robert out.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. By the way, did you see LeBron is sitting out tonight's game with an ailing right ankle?
Oh, that's not what I'm saying. It's great, though.
Yeah, and he's also he's unhappy about how things are unraveling for them. Lakers have lost six of their last seven games and have the same record as the Trailblazers.
I got the bite. You want the bite?
Okay, let's hear the bite.
So they're in danger of falling into the play-in where 7-8. 9-10 have to play into the
I think
playoff.
They're at sixth right now, aren't they? I think
they're tied with Portland, yeah. or like right. Portland's right on their heels.
Yeah.
So take a listen to LeBron.
Well, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm not, 100% close to 100%. It don't matter, where we land, So, that's my mindset. And, if this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
Wow. It's because you weren't paying attention to it because you never in your wildest dreams thought your team could be involved in it. Now all of a sudden all these guys are raging against it after their teams could be a part of it.
Was that a tornado warning in the background in that sound? Did we hear that? Like
that was the Lakers BMS? Season about to collapse.
Really? I mean, it sounded like that sound that you get before, what is it? Is it the EMS broadcast signal or whatever it comes?
LeBron ain't wrong. Give him that much.
Yeah, but I mean, where was he for the first 5 months?
Okay, but 1 through 8.
That's fine, but where was playoffs. He when they came out with that? He didn't think it involved him.
Then
now that it involves him, now it sucks.
You. Same could be said about Mark Cuban.
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
Was very vocal about it as well
sure.
when he could have done something before they agreed to do it.
He backed it the first time around.
By the way, as I told you, LeBron out tonight with an ankle injury, and that sports injury update is brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Rush has been providing excellent care to patients throughout the pandemic. There is no need to delay health visits. They offer care in safe environments or virtually. Learn more at rush.edu. The other Bears story from today is that the Bears have announced, or it has been announced, that the Bears will be parting company with Charles Leno.
Did that surprise you? Like,
no, they had to do something to actually create some cap space to pay their draft picks.
Well, a lot of people thought though Jenkins is more of a right tackle. That's what he played in college, and that to ease him in at right while Leno still has a year left, and then maybe if he shows well, bump him to left. But now they're going to have probably a Fetty play right, aren't they? And then they've basically said Tevin Jenkins is their left tackle.
I know that they added another player in free agency whose name's escaping me. But I mean, we'll see. And they drafted their fifth round pick was an offensive tackle as well. So you got a quarterback that we all like. You've got an offensive tackle that we all thought maybe selected 20th overall, and they got another tackle when they drafted in the fifth round. I'm pretty excited about that.
The Bears got a believe what you want about draft grades. They were graded well.
Yeah, I think they were the top. Collectively, they had the best grade of any team at the end of the draft.
If you look at Leno in 2020, according to Pro Football Focus, I'll say that with like a little asterisk because some people hate on it. Weeks 1 through 9, he was ranked the 48th ranked offensive tackle. He had a 66 overall grade. In weeks 10 through 17, he was the 9th ranked offensive tackle with an 81.2 overall grade.
And what happened over the course?
Well, they got better.
And they started to run the football. Yeah. And
yeah. I'm just saying, like, you're cutting offensive linemen when we need offensive linemen. And, you know, Jimmy Graham's still on the roster. Nick Foles still on the roster. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, they basically, you're right, they chose getting rid of Charles Leno versus restructuring somebody else's. Listen, I thought Charles Leno was good in 2018. I think everybody played pretty well in 2018. But in 2020...
It's a nice story, and Leno was a Phil Emery pick that he was seventh rounder, and he did fill that role for a while.
Yeah.
But he never did it well.
$9 million savings. I mean, they had to find money somewhere, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's the last decision that they make on their roster.
Is Jimmy Graham still on the team?
He'd save you $4 million.
Is Anthony Miller? Was there no trade of Anthony Miller?
They're trying to come up with a team that wants him. I don't think they're finding any takers.
Hey, when we come back, I've got some nonsense and a little something we call Florida or Ohio.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
A little sports-a-roo first. I did not read this to you last week, and maybe you discussed it on Friday when I wasn't here. Probably not, because you were drunk and the Bears had just drafted Justin Fields the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Home run derby to replace extra innings in the Pioneer League. Did you see this story?
I did. I've never been totally against it. I mean,
you like a good gimmick in sports.
I do. Yeah, I like the shootout.
You're a gimmick guy.
This is basically hockey. This is if it goes that far, instead of continuing to play, just break the tie with a home run derby.
Under the rule, each team designates a hitter who receives 5 pitches, with the game determined by the most home runs hit. If still tied after the first knockout round, another hitter is selected for a sudden-death home run face-off until a winner is declared.
I don't mind it. I mean, we did have...
Where does everybody have to go?
So what happens...
Where do you have something to do? Can't we just play a game to it?
So the extreme of this is that this actually happens in Major League Baseball. The Cubs are playing... It's like middle of April, wind's blowing in, and they go through the entire roster, and no one can hit a home run.
Well, let me ask you guys this. And maybe I'm dumb, and I don't get the concept. If you're just throw balls. Like, you don't throw pitches
I crumbled it up. There's probably a steady
you have someone on your own team pitching you for a home run derby.
So your dad runs out to the mound and tosses a little softie for you?
It's like also hockey where you can, like, get someone from the crowd maybe to do it. You know how they use the emergency goalie? I don't say I want it. I'm just like, okay. I'm all right.
You love a good gimmick.
I do like a good gimmick.
Do. So dumb. McDonald's dropper demands chicken nuggets. But he had to accept breakfast food because it was still too early. How about that?
Don't they have everything all day now? Or is it just breakfast all day?
Not across the
pond. You can't get a burger at 8?
I don't believe so. McDonald's really is strict about what time lunch is served. A man has been jailed for robbing a McDonald's in England and making off with not only some cash, but some food. Unfortunately for him, not only did he get caught, but he also wasn't even able to get the meal he was hoping for at the time of the robbery.
He wanted some nuggets.
He wanted some nuggets, man. Give me my nugs.
I got robbed at the Dairy Queen once, and the dude didn't ask for food, and I would have totally made
him. What did he want?
Yeah, did he get
money?
Did he present a gun?
Yeah.
Wow, how scared were you?
I mean, gun in your face.
I don't know. I mean,
did he get inside because you guys are...
This is... I worked at the guy who owns the one in Libertyville also owns the one in Schiller, or used to. It's not there anymore. Used to own the one in Schiller Park. So which one were you at? I was at the one in Schiller Park, okay. And that's in a strip mall where you like walk into the Dairy Queen.
Because I know the one in up where you're talking about is on Milwaukee Avenue.
Yeah, and I just shut the window and walk into the back, and I'm like, you're not getting in here, buddy.
Right.
But yeah, this was in like a walk-in.
Did you cry or pee yourself? No, what'd you do?
I just gave him the money. I was like, here you go. It's the middle of winter. It's like $20.
Were you shaking?
The heart rate went up for sure. Yeah. Like, I wasn't like,
I don't know why I would poo myself.
But like, I just gave them, I'm like, dude, you're robbing, I didn't say it to him, obviously, but like, you're robbing a Dairy Queen in February. You're getting like $30.
Yeah.
If that.
If that. That's just for, that's money put in there for the change.
Yeah. Maybe it was Tim. Do you think it was Tim?
Tim? Who?
Your buddy Tim.
Oh, no, it wasn't Tim.
You never know. It could have been an inside job.
There's no, no, it would not have been an inside job.
Where's Tim getting a gun? Does Tim have a gun?
Tim does not have a gun.
Could it have been a fake gun?
No.
I don't think I had any friends that worked at that Dairy
Queen. I mean, was there any thought that maybe it was a fake gun?
No, this was.
It was a real gun.
This was,
was it a rifle?
No, it was a revolver.
A musket?
It was a revolver.
Musket.
What's a revolver? 38?
38, 39, whatever it takes.
I don't know guns. Sorry.
Neither do I.
Let alone have enough guns to warrant a gun rack. Wayne's World, anybody? No? Okay.
I've seen it.
You guys want to play a game?
Great.
Yes.
Yeah, let's play a game.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
And Florida, Ohio is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming from head to toe in Florida, Ohio, and across the globe. Use promo code
Chicago for 20% off and free shipping. By the way, full Manscaped job last night.
Nope.
Proud to report for me.
Including the nuts
upstairs and downstairs. Yep.
Nut butter.
Yep. Even a little bit in the pits.
I don't think they pay to know when you do it.
Well, I'm just telling you. Do it. I'm a proud
user. They
want
to know that he's doing it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
doing it. Doing it real good.
Time out.
Doing it big.
Yeah. Time out.
Yep.
So you did it yesterday.
Last night.
Last night after date night on Saturday.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, maybe you should have.
I'm past, though, like.
Maybe, I mean, you know.
But look,
you're doing it for you, not for anybody else.
But I look, I don't, you know, just like a good landscaper, I do trim the shrubs off and I don't let them get out of whack.
Oh, I'm just
saying. Like, on Saturday night, there's, like, this all of a sudden a huge. Wild growth.
Dude, he wanted to be ready for the show, okay?
Sunday's
night's one thing. The show on Monday after a Bears draft is another thing.
Right before Southern Illinois' kickoff.
How'd I pre-game in the shower,
manscaping.
All right, a man, we got a peer, guys. We got a pee problem. Oh, we got a pee problem.
Yeah.
A man was having some work done on his pool when he noticed his neighbor was urinating his yard, saying that this is not the first time and he's had enough.
Pools are more prevalent
in Florida.
What
time did the authorities? It does not say what time that this incident took place.
Pools ain't open in Ohio right now. I mean, it could be, but I would say
and they're more. They're more.
I'm just saying, Waddle, watch out. You be peeing in your yard all the time. Maybe your neighbors might see
I'm playing the math. I'm playing the stats.
I don't pee during the day. It's dark out when I pee in my own yard.
Floodlights?
No.
Just saying.
It's my yard, and it's my pee, and it's night.
And if I don't want to use my toilet,
then that's
my issue.
This sounds like a back and forth with two in a retirement community in Florida somewhere.
Ooh, okay.
Tampa Bay. This is a Tampa Bay situation.
Guys, the Bears may have won the draft, but you have lost Florida, Ohio, and Mayfield Village,
Ohio.
Whoa,
get out.
An outlier.
Get out.
Wow, that's good. That's a good fake out right there. All right, coming up next, Justin Fields talks about being a Bear. We will play you a portion of our interview from Justin, and then Dan Wiederer will hop on and discuss how much faith he has in Matt Nagy to develop Justin Fields. That's in 2 short minutes.